I want to read to you from two of the Gospels, and the subject this morning is God's expectations from the obtainers of mercy. I'll read two scriptures, one in Luke and one in Mark. Luke 18, and we're talking about mercy. I've noticed that at times the same word is translated by different words in the King James. The word mercy at times is translated compassion, pity, kindness, but it's the same word in the instance that I'm going to tell you about. So we're talking about those that have obtained mercy. What does it mean? Just like that object lesson, those who have read what God promises in His Word, and they have obtained the free gift of God, which is eternal life. Now, let's read two passages and then see how it develops from there. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And He spake also a parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught, thought nothing about anybody else, despised them. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, a self-conceited man, thinking that God was so delighted in him, and a publican, an outcast from the nation of Israel. Look at verse 13. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified. That man obtained mercy. Now, Mark 5. Mark 5. This demoniac, his name was Legion, has been blessed with God, and let's see what happens when, in verse 17, Mark 5:17, the inhabitants of the area and those that owned the swine, this is what they say in verse 17. And they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. And as he was entering into the boat, he that had been possessed with demons, that is Legion, besought him that he might be with him. And he permitted him not, but saith unto him, Go to thy house, and to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee. And he went his way, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the blessedness of the passages we have read from the Gospels. Lord, who could speak a parable the way thy Son could speak a parable? And what experiences in the lives of men are like those that men have with thy Son, the Lord Jesus? We thank you, Father, for the words he spoke, for the life he lived, for the life he gives. We thank you, our Father. And it is our desire this morning to learn more about the fullness of that life that he came to give. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Father, we thank you for the sight of one who came to do thy will, and we desire to learn more about him doing your will, and that which he expects of us as to doing thy will. So this morning, by thy Spirit, help us. Prepare the hearts of those who are listening, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness as you have promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Two thoughts. The thoughts of a farmer who was blessed in an exceptional way by God, and the thoughts of one who had been blessed with the mercy of God. Two of God's creatures having two different experiences, and this is what they think. It says in Luke's Gospel that there was a farmer that one year had a bountiful crop. He was blessed to such a degree he did not have barns to store all his goods in. And so he started thinking. He said, what am I going to do? And so he said, I'll tear down the little barns and build bigger barns, and I'll store everything there that God has given me. He said, and I will sit back and eat and drink and take my ease, and I will say to my soul, enjoy life. Those are the thoughts of one. But they were interrupted this way. God said to him, you fool. Your soul is required of you this night, and all of these things that you were thinking about, who shall they be? So that is what one was thinking about when God blessed him. And the other is the psalmist who has these thoughts. Now understand that the farmer was blessed. Now the psalmist also is blessed. And this is what he says. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? Do you see the difference? Both of them received benefits from God. And one said, what am I going to do with all these things? And he thought of himself. That, the psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? And then he starts thinking. You see, we all think. If we're in a situation where we are short on material things, we think about how to make up that shortness. If we have abundance of material things, we think about what to do with that. And then some who are spiritual, some obtainers of God's mercy, say, Lord, you've been so good to me, so merciful to me. What shall I render back unto you for all the benefits bestowed upon me? Now that's what I want us to think about this morning. Listen to the title of the message, God's Expectations from Those Who Have Obtained Mercy. That's why I read you, first of all, in Luke 18. Because a sinner says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God heard that cry, justified him, and it says he went home a different man. You see? He cried for mercy, and he obtained mercy. Now, in that passage, the Savior did not say anything about what was required of him, just told about the blessings God bestowed upon him. Now, think of that. Some of you, like the Philippian jailer, may have said, what shall I do to be saved? And then God's servants tell you how to be saved, and then you trust Christ as Savior. You are an obtainer, a recipient of God's mercy. Then what are you to do? That's what I'm going to bring to your attention this morning. What God expects of you. Now that he has given you a free gift, do you understand? It is absolutely free. And not one thing that you do after you have cried to God for mercy can make you one whit more saved. Not one good work that I've done since I trusted Christ as Savior makes me any more a child of God. Salvation is free, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you say, not of works, then God expects nothing. Oh, but he does. But what he expects of you does not make you more saved. This is the way it's expressed in Hebrews. The things that accompany salvation. Salvation, it's the free gift of God. But there are certain things that accompany salvation. And if they do not characterize your life, then you've disappointed God. Is God proud of you, or is God ashamed of you? It says in Hebrews, concerning some, he is not ashamed to be called their God. Think of the niggardly life that some Christians live, and God is ashamed. Think of Peter denying the Lord. The Lord is ashamed. And then think of some, like unto Abraham, who, when God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, an offering or a burnt offering upon the mount that I shall tell thee of. And Abraham said, yes, Lord. God is proud of him. Now, here are two thoughts. One man, what can I do with what God has done for me? And another, what can I do for God in return for what he has done for me? That's why I had the Sermon on the Mount read to you. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So how is a person made merciful? How is a person made to love? By embracing the love of God and by being a recipient of the mercy of God. Individuals do not know of divine love and mercy until they've been born again. And this is what God does for us. God in his goodness changes us. He gives us a divine nature. It says, whereby are granted unto us his exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may become partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I will bring other portions to your attention, emphasizing that. This is the portion that I'm telling you about. Blessed are the merciful, yes. But in Luke 6, it says this, you shall be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Now, that's not an exceptional thing. That is a thing that occurs not only as the mercy, but in other areas as well. Listen, it says in that Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You say he expects perfection as well as mercy? Yes. Be merciful because your heavenly Father is merciful, and be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this is what Peter says to us. You shall be holy because your heavenly Father is holy. Now think of that. What is the basis of all this expectation of God? You have been born into the family of God, like Father, like Son. God is merciful. And the Lord Jesus said, you be merciful, as your heavenly Father is merciful. What's the basis? You are Father's Son. Be merciful the way your Father is merciful. You are a child of God, then be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. And you are a child of God, you see, because of what we are, God expects us to be the way the one who made us what we are is by nature. Now, I promise you this. You do not have to try to be like your father, Adam. You say, what do you mean? How many of you have to teach your children to tell lies? To disobey you? To fail to do the things that you expected your children? Don't you have to train them to be disobedient? You say, no, it just comes naturally. Well, of course it does. You see, they are like their father, Adam. They have that fallen nature. And it remains in us. But it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and by these you may become partakers of a divine nature. But if you are partaker of a divine nature, then you're enabled by the Spirit of God to manifest this divine nature. And therefore, your Father is holy, your Father is merciful, then you are to be merciful. You are to be holy. Your Father is perfect, you are to be perfect. You say, I'll never attain to it. Of course you won't. But if you say, well, I'll try to be a little better, you'll be a miserable failure. But if you try and aim at perfection, you will become something that you should be. Not everything you should be. But the goal is perfection. The goal is holiness, purity, separation from sin. And God's exhortation is be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Listen to the basis of it now in Peter. It says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, begat us again unto a living hope. It is the mercy of God that brought about a new birth. And therefore, we are God's children. We are to be holy, and we are to be perfect, and we are to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Now, does that characterize you? I know you're Adam's child, and you know I am. I see the resemblance to your Father all the time. Are you a child of God? Peter and John, who at times had embarrassed God. In the book of Acts, it says they stood up, and at the risk of their lives, they spoke boldly of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, when the listeners saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Is there anything that will remind the world that you have been with Jesus? Or does the world look at you and laugh at you as it did Lot? Here is Lot, sitting at the gate of that corrupt city, Sodom. And God, in his mercy, sends a messenger and tells him he has to escape for his life. And then Lot goes and tells the men that had married his daughters, escape for your life. And they laugh at him. They say, Lot, you're joking with us. What are you talking about? The judgment of God. They never took him seriously. And alas, there are some Christians, if they speak to others, their life has been so inconsistent. Their life has been so much like the rest of those that live round about them that they will laugh at you in your face. Now, is this true concerning you? Or will men take notice when you speak because they understand that you've been with Jesus? Or are you like Lot, sitting at the gate of Sodom, no respect from your sons-in-law, no respect from those round about you? So, this is what God is telling us. God expects certain things of us, and it is to be the way He is, not to manifest the nature of Adam, as Lot did, but to manifest the nature of your Heavenly Father, as Peter and John did, when they spoke boldly of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, when they lived a life above reproach, and men took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. This is what God wants. So first of all, He wants you to be merciful, simply because your Heavenly Father is merciful. Now this, it's similar, but this time, it tells us consequences that are involved if you do not manifest the nature of your Father. What is that danger? There are two. First of all, I'll give you the example, and then I will give you the warning. Everybody knows the parable about the Good Samaritan. How a poor man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, they robbed him, beat him, stripped him, left him half dead. And it says three men passed by. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. And the priest saw him, said, I'm not helping that man. The Levite saw him, I'm not helping that man. But a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan came by, and his heart was moved with compassion. And he did what he could with oil and wine for the man's wounds, put him upon his beast, and took him to an inn and said to the man, you take care of him. I will bear the expenses. Now, this man had asked, who is my neighbor? And so when the Lord Jesus spoke that parable, he said, now, these three men that I told you about, which one was his neighbor? And the man said, why, he that showed him mercy. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, you go and do likewise. You see the exhortation? He was one that's in need. You show him mercy. And the Lord Jesus said, you go and do likewise. All right, that's the exhortation. But the danger is this, and this is what Christians fail to understand. I told you that you're saved by grace through faith, that you do not have to do one thing to add to your salvation to make yourself more saved. You're saved as much without one work as with a thousand. Your reward, how different. And there must be fruit. But understand that this fruit does not make you any more saved. But what about those who, when the Lord Jesus said, be merciful, show mercy, and they do not show mercy? The Lord Jesus spoke another parable, and you'd better listen to it well, because we do not believe in losing eternal life, but we can lose the peace of God and the comforts of life if we fail to obey the commands of the Lord. But said, and I'll explain it in terms that are easy to understand, a man went out and found one of his debtors that owed him $10 million. And he said, pay me. And the man said, have patience, Lord, have patience. I will pay you. And the one to whom he was speaking was moved with compassion, and he forgave him that debt. And then this man, that had escaped being cast into prison, his family sold, he went out and found somebody that owed him $20. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me. And the man said, please, have patience with me. I will pay you. He said, no, I'm not going to have patience with you. And he cast him into jail. Think now. Here's a man that had been forgiven $10 million. And one that owed him $20 said, forgive me. Have patience. I'll pay you. He said, I'll never do it. And when the one that forgave him the $10 million heard it, you see, his friends came and told the man. He called him, he said, look, you besought me to have compassion upon you, to forgive you, and I forgave you. Now, your debtor came and asked you to forgive him $20, and you wouldn't do it. Should you not have had mercy upon him as I had mercy upon you? You know the answer to that. Yes. You say, well, you didn't have mercy. And the Lord said, everything that I expected to do to you at first, but you besought me not to do. He said, I'm changing it all around, and I'm going to require of you that debt that I forgave. You say, that sounds like you can be saved and lost. No. But I tell you what it does teach. It teaches that there are earthly benefits that go along with forgiveness, mercy, knowing what it is to be a child of God. There are things that go along on earth. Fruitful seasons, peace, contentment, they go along on earth. And if you sin against God, God can send misery into your life. I'll illustrate it briefly. Here are some that are coming irreverently to the Lord's Supper. And because of that, you're weak. And you are sickly, and some of you are dead. Why? Because of disobedience to the Lord. Now, that's not taking away eternal life, but there are physical consequences that involve your life down here on earth. And this is what Christians fail to understand, that the life they live on earth determines the kind of enjoyment that they have on earth. And the Lord, who not only forgave your sins, made sure that you're going to heaven, that's the free gift of God, that will never change. He can make your life hell on earth if you do not show mercy to others since you have been shown mercy. You don't realize it, but when you pray the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that's what you told the Lord when you said, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. But this man did not forgive his debtor. And the Lord Jesus adds this. We never add it to the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Do you understand that? So if you sin against God and you say, Lord, forgive me my trespasses and let things go smoothly in life as they always have been, the Lord will not do it. And he will require of you on earth the painful experiences that men have down here that they bring upon themselves. And he said, you'll never get away until you pay the last farthing. You better remember that. Because whereas salvation is free and grace is free, the things that happen to you, the rewards on earth, are determined in part by your obedience to the God that bestowed mercy upon you. You should be merciful, yes. Go and show mercy, yes. And if you do not show mercy, so the Lord said, I will take back that mercy, that life that I was going to give you on earth, as eventually you'll have that eternal life in heaven. And so some of you have lives that are miserable. And you say, why? Think of the sin in your life. Think of the selfishness. Think of the unforgiveness in your life. Think of the life you live, and God is looking down. And he says, you're not the way I am. You're to be as your heavenly Father is. And since you're not that way, I'm going to require it of you. But I've heard some Christians say, my God will never do anything to me. He's my Father. He will kill you. Do you understand? Weak, sickly, some of you are dead because of sin, persistent sin. And so God will never do anything to me. Well, you read Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 11 and see if this is so. God gives you salvation as a free gift. His mercy, and mercy is something that is bestowed out of the love of his heart. That's what God does for you. But then the life you live down here until his son comes or you go, then that is determined by what you do for him. Additional mercy, oh yes, but still, much is determined by your likeness to the Father who is in heaven. Now, I read you in Mark chapter 5. Think, here are some who own the swine, and their swine are all gone. Understand that a Jew should never have been dealing in swine at all. They're all gone. And the people in the neighborhood are unable to comprehend about the mysteriousness of Jesus. How can he do this? How can he cast out demons? What is happening here? And so they all tell him, leave, go away from us. But the man who had been demon-possessed says, Lord, let me go with you. Now, that's what the grace of God can do. That's what the mercy of God can do. And this man, once having been controlled by demons, is now controlled by a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. And we did not want anything to do with him at first. We were filled with hate. We hated God. We hated our fellow man. But now we say to the Lord Jesus, I want to be with you. Certainly the Lord will grant that request. But he does not grant that request. He says, no, you are not to go with me. I have other plans for you. I want you to go home to your house and tell your friends how great things God has done for thee and how he had mercy upon thee. Whom have you told this week about God's mercy that you obtain by saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Tell me, do you make it an aim in life to speak to every individual so that your hands will be pure from the blood of all men? Paul could say that. He said, I fail not to witness to you, to testify you day and night, publicly, and from house to house. Well, as for systematically going about I don't know about that. But when people come into my life, I try to witness to them about the Lord. And I know this, that when I was first saved, and next year in the will of God, it will be 50 years. Think of that. 50 years saved. And I can remember, after I was first saved, I know what I was. We're spiritually like that man, controlled by demons. What does it mean? God doesn't tell us what to do. Satan, the world, sin tells us what to do. But after Christ saves our soul, our lives are to be changed, and the Lord Jesus is to tell us what to do. And the change that comes over us is to be explained with our lips. And this is what I remember, because I had friends that knew what I was when I left. And when I came back, instead of cursing coming from these lips, I said, I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, tell us about Christ. Why, the time that we heard you use Christ's name, it was in vain. What are you talking about? I want to tell you about the mercy that God bestowed upon me. And it says that they marveled when Legion told them what Christ had done for them. And I assure you that these friends of mine who had known me in my unsaved days, they marveled when they saw what Christ had done for me. What did I do? I simply told them what great things God had done, how He saved me by His grace. I was a sinner. I said, I used to go to church with you. You know that. I was in your Sunday school class. But I wasn't saved. It's the precious blood of Christ that saved me. I was trying to work my way to heaven. It's God's mercy that saved me. And when I told them those things, they marveled. The message is different. The life is different. And it said that when Legion went back, they knew what he was in the past. And they could not deny that a change had come over him. And now, this man was telling them about the goodness of God, what great things God had done, and how God had mercy upon him. And all men marveled. Whom have you told that marveled at what God has done for you? Do you believe God has done great things for you? Then tell men. That is one of the responsibilities. The Lord Jesus said, go and tell what great things God has done and how the Lord had mercy upon you. And this demoniac did just that. And these are the things that God expects of us. The obtainers of God's mercy, we are to be merciful. We are to show mercy. And we are to go and to tell the mercy that God has bestowed upon us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so thankful that song we sing, come every soul by sin oppressed, there is mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. We're so glad that there is mercy with the Lord, and we are thankful for everyone here who is an obtainer of that mercy. And we pray that since we've been told also about some of the expectations that now we require of us, we desire, our Father, that we shall be merciful as you are merciful, that we shall show mercy, and that with our lips we shall tell of the mercy bestowed upon us. Let us be obedient children. We know what it was in the past to obey Satan. Now let us know what it is in the present to obey you, our Heavenly Father. Let us be those who manifest the mercy of God shown us in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.